Well, the death penalty, a capital of America, under one metric, that's Missouri, which put to death Roderick Nunley last night for the rape and murder of 15-year-old Ann Harrison back in 1989. Meantime, next door, Kansas, hasn't carried out an execution since 1965. So the question is, why do the two states have such dramatically different approaches to carrying out the death penalty? With us now to talk about it are Peter Hancock. He's a State House reporter for the Lawrence Journal World. And Peter, it's nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Maurice Chamas is also with us. He's a reporter with the Marshall Project, and he's written about the Missouri experience with this punishment. And Maurice, good morning to you, too.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, when people think about states that actively use the death penalty, many folks probably think of Texas, but you say in an article for the Marshall Project, Maurice, that it's Missouri that could rank as the death penalty capital of America. Explain that to us.
Sure. Well, I used to live in Texas, so I had always just assumed that my state was the death penalty leader, and it is in the sense that Texas has carried out vastly more executions than any other state in the U.S. But since about November 2013, Missouri has been carrying out one execution every month, and that has led the state to have the highest death penalty rate per capita, you know, when you take into account population in the country. So last year, Texas and Missouri carried out the same number of executions. They both executed 10 people, but of course there are more than four times the amount of people in Texas. So Missouri, by that metric, has become the place that is executing at a faster rate than anyone else.
But then, Peter, right next door to Missouri is Kansas, and yet the state hasn't put anybody to death since the mid-1960s. Why not?
Well, a number of reasons. We didn't reinstate the death penalty until 1992. A number of people have been sentenced to death since then, but the Kansas Supreme Court has either overturned the convictions or overturned the penalties of almost every case since then. The one conviction that they did uphold was just last year, but they didn't actually get to the penalty phase because the inmate had conveniently died of natural causes while his appeal was pending, so they didn't have to get that. But all of the other cases, the Supreme Court has overturned. Meanwhile, there's kind of a growing reluctance even among conservative Republicans about the death penalty, part of it having to do with the cost of prosecuting death penalty cases and the length of time the appeals take. But there's also a growing sense within young Republicans coming up, especially pro-life Republicans, who now say, you know, they feel a moral inconsistency between being pro-life on abortion issues and in favor of the death penalty. Kansas Federation of College Republicans just this summer passed a resolution within their group calling for repeal of the death penalty in Kansas.
So no question, Peter, there's a continuing ambivalence in Kansas. Perhaps that's the right word when it comes to capital punishment.
There has been, and as you know, Steve, you were around in the 1980s when this was debated back and forth.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Yeah.
Well, when you'll remember when John Carlin, a Democrat governor, he was strongly against the death penalty, and so the Republican legislature sent him like three death penalty bills, knowing that he was going to veto them. Republican Governor Mike Hayden came in after that, strongly in favor of the death penalty. And that same legislature, there'd been very little turnover, could not pass a death penalty bill and get it to his desk. And he was succeeded by Democrat Joan Finney, who was kind of all over the board, and nobody really knew where she stood. She said she would allow it to become law without her signature, and everybody kind of scratched their heads over that. And in her final year in office, the legislature, by very narrow margins, was able to pass a death penalty bill, and it became law without her signature, and that's the law that we have now.
And Peter, just for the record, I go back to Hayden. I don't go back to Carlin, okay? So don't date me too much here, okay?
I stand correct.
Well, Maurice, you point out that Missouri has been at the epicenter of a ton of criminal justice controversy in recent years. It only begins with Ferguson. What struck you about the state as you wrote about it?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, across the country, when you look at a state and you look at the death penalty there, there are different factors that can either kind of speed up the death penalty or slow it down. If you have a governor who's super in support, it can cause more executions to, you know, the kind of political climate in that state to you know, push for more executions. Whereas if you have, like in Kansas, a Supreme Court that's knocking down these death sentences left and right, it, you know, creates a situation where prosecutors are maybe a little more careful. They may be stop and think twice before carrying out a death sentence. Missouri, I talked to a bunch of people there, a lot of especially death penalty defense lawyers who are actively working on these cases, and it sounds like Missouri just basically has all the factors there in spades. The state has a supply of lethal injection drugs, even as other states have had trouble finding it. They have a governor who has been very outspoken. Jay Nixon has made many comments in support of the death penalty, as has Attorney General Coster. You have a defense bar that is self-described as weak and embattled and in a kind of tight spot with, you know, a kind of wave of cases that they have to deal with. And then you have prosecutors in a lot of these counties, particularly St. Louis, who are used to pursuing the death penalty, have orders from on high to do it regularly, and the machine just kind of grinds along.
Let's talk about some of those factors a little bit more, Maurice. And one of them you mentioned here is the supply of lethal injection drugs that's been that issue has gummed up the works in so many other states, and it's remained intensely controversial even here. Why can Missouri get the drugs and so many other states cannot?
I wish I had an answer.
Yeah, we do too. It's confusing.
You have defense attorneys who suspect and, you know, kind of suggest in their legal filings and in the press that they think the state is maybe getting it from overseas, pentobarbital, a barbiturate that's used in executions. There's other speculation that it could come from a veterinary source, but again, the key word there is speculation. We really don't know. We just know that Missouri has been able to access a kind of stockpile of this drug, even as other states have struggled, you know, and this is in the news every day. It sort of seems like every state has a different problem, depending on the day. And Missouri somehow has seemed to avoid a lot of this.
I was going to say, one lawyer told you that Missouri is the only state in the country that has no trouble getting these drugs. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It's true. I mean, Missouri did have trouble a few years ago. I remember reading some stories back then that the state DOC was, you know, taking cash to these compounding pharmacies, which were developing the drug. That's what happens in Texas, another state that has secrecy laws. Like a lot of these states, there are basically laws or legal decisions that allow the state to kind of shroud what they're doing in secrecy. And right now there's a lawsuit where several news organizations in Missouri are suing to bring that information out, and that could gum up the work. So it's certainly worth mentioning that although Missouri has kind of all the factors in motion, one of them could change. You never really know.
We're talking about capital punishment in Missouri and Kansas and why Missouri leads the nation when it comes to capital punishment. And Kansas, meantime, hasn't executed anybody since the mid-1960s. Maurice, there's a political consideration here that you also wrote about, and you talk about it in connection with Governor Nixon and Attorney General Chris Coster. These are obviously two red state Democratic leaders. There's lots of talk about why these two men support the death penalty. Walk us through that.
Sure. I've never interviewed either of them. So, and when you ask them sort of about their opinion on the death penalty, they give kind of broad strokes, kind of basic opinions on why they support it, saying that it's justice, saying the same things that supporters of the death penalty say around the country. But beneath that, there's definitely some skepticism, especially on the part of opponents in Missouri, thinking that basically Democratic or liberal governors in conservative states have to support the death penalty strongly because it shows that they are tough on crime and it keeps them from appearing weak in the face of their, you know, more conservative adversaries. So there are historical examples of this. Bill Clinton in Arkansas in the 90s famously flew home to preside over an execution. Governor Ann Richards, the Democratic governor of Texas in the 90s, never commuted a sentence. Jay Nixon has commuted one, though we don't really know why.
And only one in 6.5 years as governor, as you point out here.
Yeah, that's correct. And so the whole picture is one in which you guess that it's, even if Jay Nixon, you know, can say that it has nothing to do with political considerations, and it very well may not, it certainly is politically beneficial to him to support the death penalty. Around the country, of course, a majority of Americans still do support the death penalty. That has not dipped below 50%. So really, I think Democratic leaders only have something to lose by being against the death penalty, mm-hmm. and that's in distinction from conservative leaders, which, as we know from this example with the Kansas Republicans, sometimes there's more political cover in conservative circles to come out against the death penalty.
Yeah, and you point out that one exception in Nixon's record where he commuted the death sentence of one inmate, and he never provided an explanation for why he did it, so that just sort of adds one more mysterious element to this whole thing. We don't know why he did it.
Absolutely, and that's often the case with commutations and pardons. We can speculate. Sometimes we get kind of, you know, more information from political leaders as to why they've done something like this, but it's really, really hard to know.
Just one final point about Missouri, Maurice. There's also a sense that the courts here are on the side of capital punishment because the state Supreme Court and the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals aren't stepping in to stop them. How significant of a factor is that in this entire mix?
I think it's very significant, and it's sort of thrown dramatically into relief by the fact that the Kansas Supreme Court has knocked down many death sentences. It was the Missouri Supreme Court that started the schedule of signing off on one death sentence each month in November 2013. There have been a couple of months break in that, but that is what has, you know, mainly accounted for Missouri's speeding up its pace of execution so dramatically. Much like what we were talking about with Governor Nixon, the Supreme Court justices have not said a whole lot about that. Former Chief Justice Mary Russell came out and basically said, you know, there was a backlog of pending executions when we were waiting to figure out the situation with the lethal injection drugs. Once that got resolved, we started signing off on these sentences. She also very pointedly made sure to say this isn't about being for or against the death penalty. So, you know, I think this shows that at all levels of the process, there's kind of a deniability where people who kind of speed along the process can say it's not up to us in particular, and that kind of threads the death penalty overall. It's not just prosecutors, it's not just juries, it's not just appeals judges. It really takes all of these forces working in motion to allow something like what's happening in Missouri.
And finally, you point out again on the legal end of things that the defense bar in Missouri is completely overburdened, overmatched, and can't really provide the kind of defense that maybe some folks feel that should be provided.
Right. I spoke to a few of them on the phone, and the words that kept, you know, coming up were, overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It's a crisis here. We don't know what to do. And it was interesting to hear people talk so critically of their own work and also appear so fervent. Like, they all seem like they want to, you know, keep their clients from getting executed, but a lot of them are tossed two or three cases at a time because there isn't a kind of big core of specialists who can work on these sorts of things because this surge in executions is so new. So you contrast that to Texas, which has a very strong defense bar. A lot of the defense lawyers I talk to in Missouri say they look up to Texas as a place that has, you know, plenty of executions and plenty of failures to save inmates, but at least has a kind of core of knowledge mm-hmm. about how to work in these appeals.
Well, Peter Hancock from the Lawrence Journal World, let's flip over to Kansas here and get a picture of what's going on there. You know, are there other states that have a lethal injection chamber and don't use it?
You know, I'm not so sure. I think Kansas does kind of stand out as an oddity in that we have a death penalty law that has never been used. I remember when the law passed back in 1992, talking with some national experts, and they said, well, you can kind of expect, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years before you'll actually carry one out. Well, we're getting on about 25 years pretty close here and still have not carried one out. So I think that is kind of an oddity, in part just because I go back to the political culture of Kansas. We have, you know, a very strongly conservative tradition, especially when it comes to law enforcement issues, but also a very strongly conservative fiscal culture, where we don't like spending a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's a largely rural state, so many of the counties don't necessarily have the prosecutorial capacity to handle death penalty cases. The Attorney General's office can help out in those cases, but it doesn't have an incredibly large staff either.
Yeah.
So they're difficult to prosecute in many areas, and we sort of have this culture. I mean, even back, you know, from the 1960s and then going back to the 1860s, the fact of the matter is there weren't that many executions in Kansas to begin with. The list of people who've been executed in Kansas is fairly short.
It's so interesting, given that Missouri and Kansas are next-door neighbors and such different cultures on this same issue here. You know, a lot of death penalty opponents, Peter, cite the high cost of capital cases. Tell us about that, because, I mean, do capital cases cost a lot more than the non-capital cases and just life in prison?
Well, yeah, they do. And one of the other factors is that if you have an indigent defense, the state is basically paying for both sides of the trial. You're paying for all of the prosecution, and you're paying for the defense. And, of course, the defense has to be afforded, you know, all kinds of resources to draw in expert witnesses, has to be afforded, you know, adequate resources for appeals, and that can be very expensive. There was one case a few years ago that I think the defense part of it alone had cost over $1 million. And it was during a year when Kansas was facing some significant fiscal constraints, as it does almost every year.
Yeah.
And that started raising some questions, even among Republican circles, about, you know, how much money are we going to spend prosecuting these cases? Also, besides, you know, kind of different cultures, Missouri is much more of an urban state if you look at the Kansas City and St. Louis metropolitan areas and the Springfield areas. It has a lot more urban crime. Kansas has urban areas in Kansas City, Topeka, Wichita, Lawrence, but not of the scale that you have there in Missouri, the large concentrated populations that you have. And so I think that factors into it as well.
Yeah, there's all this talk in Kansas about how long these cases take to work through, and yet it was interesting to me that just last year the legislature debated a bill that proponents said would have speeded up the appeals process in capital cases, but the legislation didn't pass. Any sense why not?
Well, I get back to the fact that there is a lot of ambivalence in Kansas about the death penalty. People like to campaign on the fact that they are for it. But yeah, there's also a realization that there's, you know, speeding up the appeals process. That law in itself was going to be appealed, so you're opening the door to even more appeals just by talking about a law like that. And you know, like I say, there is ambivalence even among Republicans about whether or not they really want to follow through with this.
Yeah,
I don't think they would shed a tear if we actually did conduct an execution, but nobody's really, not that many people are really pushing that side of the envelope to go real far in that direction.
I was really struck by a story in your newspaper, Peter, that quoted a man named Ron Wirtz, who's the former chief of the state's death penalty defense unit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this about the possibility of putting an inmate to death anytime soon. He said, quote, "The death penalty is by far the most complex set of laws there could be in criminal law. It's not even close right now about putting someone to death. I'd say it's probably 10 more years out at the very least." I guess that's putting it pretty bluntly.
Yeah, at 10 years probably is not a bad estimate, and that is all contingent on whether or not the law even stays in place for another 10 years. And I think that there is some question about that.
We're going to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Peter Hancock. He's a State House reporter for the Lawrence Journal World, and Marie Shama, who's a reporter with the Marshall Project, and he's written about the Missouri experience with capital punishment. Gentlemen, thank you both very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.